Hey, sports fans, Coach Nick here, and welcome to the B-Ball Breakdown Podcast. I am pleased to have Kevin Williams, who is president of the New Era Basketball Association, come on the show today to talk about his new league. Kevin, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, Coach Nick.
I appreciate it. Well, listen, you have a thing called the New Era Basketball Association, and when the words basketball are in there, I'm in. So tell us, what exactly, like, how did this whole thing start, and what is it, really?
Well, the New Era Basketball Association started back in 2013. I was covering usbasket.com, which is the biggest professional basketball website in the world. I was actually doing articles with them, and I was just covering different United States minor leagues at the time. I started meeting a couple of great owners at that time that was looking for a better solution to their basketball problems that they was having in other leagues. As covering those teams, we started putting together tour teams. We took a tour team over to Portugal. We took a tour team over to Italy, and we took one over to Spain. And ever since then, we've been getting rave reviews about the league, and we decided to expand it across the United States from there.
Wow. So, you know, is this like a D-League level, or what level of play would you say it is?
Well, when it comes down to the actual play, we would say we are at D-League level. Most people would label us more of a double-A, as a D-League would probably be a triple-A since it's connected with the NBA. Our players have graduated from college, and either they play in the NBA D-League or they play a couple of years overseas, and we're trying to help them get into the higher levels internationally or back into the D-League.
Wow. So tell us, what cities are you based in right now?
Right now, we're based in 20 cities. Wow. It's going to take me a minute, but we're in Boston, Massachusetts. We're in New York City, New York. We're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Kansas City, Missouri, Raleigh, North Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, Orlando, Florida, Miami, Florida, Lafayette, Louisiana, Houston, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, Dallas, Texas, Hot Springs, Arkansas, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Seattle, Washington, Kitsap, Washington, Tacoma, Washington, and Portland, Oregon.
Wow. So you're all over the country. What kind of arenas do you guys play in?
Well, we play in arenas usually between 1,000 and 2,000 seats. Oh, Coach Nick, I forgot my main two teams, the Memphis, Tennessee, and Jackson, Tennessee. But we play in arenas between 1,000 and 3,000 seats. You'll most likely see us in college gyms. We do have a couple of smaller arenas that we also play out of.
Wow. And so, you know, I'm trying to paint a whole picture here in my head of what it looks like. How do the players get around to each different game?
Well, pretty much we have a flight partnership with Southwest Airlines. So for our further trips, we use airlines. We just signed a big deal with Megabus. So a lot of our teams are getting transported through Megabus also. Also have a couple of deals with Greyhound. So it just depends on how far the trip is. We try to make sure that our teams that's traveling any more than 10 hours actually fly to the game.
You know, and if you wanted to watch your basketball games at all, are they broadcast anywhere?
Yes, sir. We actually just signed a partnership in 2014 with EA Sports, which is the big video game company that everybody's familiar with. They actually have their own online internet channel that started off in Europe. It's the equivalent of ESPN3 in the United States. Hmm. So you can watch the games on EA Sports broadcast. We also have our games archived on Netflix, Roku, and also Apple TV.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're getting out there. People can watch. And I guess, you know, the games are being filmed just like you normally see an NBA game.
Yes, sir. We actually have all of our games are videotaped in HD. We have play-by-play announcers, 3 to 4 camera setups. So we're not the NBA when it comes down to financial viability, but we try to bring that type of atmosphere to the minor league basketball level.
That's great. Now, what was the impetus? Exactly, you know, why exactly did you want to create this league, and where do you see it going in the next 5 years?
To tell you the truth, Coach Nick, I never wanted to create my own basketball league. My main thing was I played college basketball, and I just wanted to stay around the game. After I got through with college, I knew a lot of guys that was trying to get to the next level, and they either didn't have good representation or they need a break. With my experiences in covering Eurobasket.com, I was able to get some plugs internationally to help guys get to the next level, and there was some minor leagues in the United States that wasn't as recognized or didn't have the reputation that would help them get to the next level. So as we took guys on tour, Actually, the idea came to me from one of my guys out of Czech Republic that said that maybe you should start your own thing in the United States and become a plug for international teams, and that's how everything got started.
So and it does sound like, you know, when you go to the Summer League in Vegas or in Orlando, you know, you can't walk 10 feet without running into a European scout, right, who's looking for players for their teams in Europe. It sounds like, is that also a focus for you guys as far as being a feeder to European teams?
Definitely. We've already formed a couple of partnerships with Italy and also with Spain. We're also working on our NIBA Germany division right now, which will feature four teams in a Division II level of Germany. So the main thing we want to be right now is that league where if you get drafted into the NBA and you get released and you go to the D League, or you get released from the D League, we want you to play in the New Era Basketball Association and let us help you to get your career to the next level.
You know, you do hear a lot of, you know, horror stories about kids who out of college, they sign with the wrong agent and they never get a shot. Do you have any kind of, do you help players with that kind of understanding of how the game should work and who they should use as agents?
Definitely. We actually work with our players in their development, not only on the basketball court, but also in their careers. We actually have marketing firms that work with our league. We actually have a couple of sports agents that deal directly with us to help get our players to the next level if they don't have that type of representation.
Oh, that's, you know, that's really important. I can imagine, you know, firsthand some of those stories. You know, where did you play college basketball?
I played college basketball at Houston Tillerson University in Austin. We were the NAIA school, and I was pretty much one of those guys who had the talent to go to the next level. And because I went to an NAIA school, sometimes there's a lot of politics involved. So whenever I graduated from college, my job was to be able to get those type of plugs to help guys that might not go to the Duke or the North Carolinas or the Kentuckys to still be able to have an opportunity to play ball and get paid for it throughout their career.
I'm just curious, from your point of view, I had to imagine, you know, a really good NAIA player, if he got into a game against some of those D1 players, you know, would he hold his own?
I definitely think so. There's a lot of reasons why players might start off in a JUCO, as you know, or NAIA school. Maybe their grades wasn't up to par. Maybe they just didn't get the type of looks that they felt like they should have had in high school. We know right now with the AAU scene, if you don't play AAU ball at this time, it's really hard to get scouted. A lot of AAU players are recruited through AAU programs now, rather than whenever I played ball in 2000, whenever if you played high school ball, that's where you've seen a lot of scouts at.
Right. It's kind of a strange thing that's happened that way. I think that might be one of the reasons why people criticize AAU basketball now, right?
Definitely, definitely. Every time I talk to a parent, they try to keep their kids from the AAU market. But it's so many people pulling at these kids that's the way to go these days. And it wasn't like that whenever I played high school ball in the 90s.
Well, that's really interesting stuff. Now, have you already played games? Is this the inaugural year right now?
No, we played games in 2013, 2014. When we first got started, I'm from Houston, Texas. So whenever guys would come home from overseas or guys would just graduate from college, we pretty much started the NIBA League off as a 16 league. Based in Houston, it was more like a big-time pro-am because we don't have leagues like the Rucker or the Drew League or the Goodman League. So we pretty much started off like that. Mm-hmm. So we've been playing actually since 2013. Now this season is our first year of our expansion project where we have our 20 cities now.
You know, no conversation on this channel would go without talking about coaching. So I'm curious, you have all these teams. Who are the coaches that are coaching these teams?
We actually have a couple of good coaches. One of our best coaches is Coach Larry Stelter from our Memphis Lions team. The Memphis Lions team actually left out of the ABA last season. They actually broke the minor league scoring record by scoring 228 points in a single game.
Jeez.
Yes, sir. Coach Stelter is one of our best coaches right now. He's out of Arkansas. A couple of other coaches, we have Coach Ashley Robinson out of Kitsap. Our Kitsap Admirals team actually just came back from China. They had a 4-2 record in their China tour. Who else we have right now? We have Coach Brian Blaze out of our team in Kansas City. That's doing a magnificent job right now. So we have a lot of young coaches, but they have a lot of experience in getting players to the next level.
Well, how long is your season? How many games do you guys end up playing?
We actually play a 40-game season. We're the first minor league that's ever played 40 games in a season, but we start off our season November the 14th with one of our matchups between our San Antonio Kings versus our Memphis Lions. Our last week of the season is in July. So we actually start before most minor leagues and we end after every minor league.
Oh, wow. So you guys like spread out the season, it sounds like, kind of far?
Yeah, so we spread out between 9 months because we actually have breaks. We actually have a contract signed every year to go to Italy. So we'll be going to the big Italy Summer Jam, June 25th through July the 5th. And we're also going to the Spanish Summer League that we went to this past summer, July 3rd through the 8th. So that's pretty much going to be our break. Fans will probably know it the same way the WNBA does whenever they send their women to play in the Olympics and they come back. That's the way that we do our league also.
Okay, so it sounds like you might have like one game a week. Is that how it works?
Two games. Well, we play four games a month. So it's pretty much two games every other week. So it might be a Saturday-Sunday setup, and then you might have a week off, and then the next Saturday-Sunday you'll be on the road.
Wow. So our teams are practicing a little bit in between each?
Yes, sir. Teams are practicing. We require teams to practice at least 3 days out the week. A lot of our players on the minor league level does have jobs. So, you know, we mm-hmm. try to work into their schedule, but three times a week our teams practice.
Okay, cool. Now, do you have like a draft every year, or how does that work?
Yes, sir. We actually have our draft November the 1st. It's coming up. Our draft is pretty much done like the D-League draft on Costco, where each team pretty much sends over their picks from their combines, and we pretty much do a toss-up to see which teams get the first pick all the way to the 20th pick.
Aha. And so what about the style of play? Would you say that there's a general style that everyone kind of plays, or is it all different?
Well, no, sir. We're the first league that you're going to see in the United States that plays by international FIBA rules. So we pretty much follow the FIBA rules guideline. Our games are 40 minutes compared to 48 minutes. Some of the other similarities is five fouls for our players instead of six. Being able to take the ball off the rim after a missed shot compared to goaltending rules. So if you're familiar with the FIBA rules, that's the rules that we play. So it's a lot of up and down action, but it is condensed to FIBA rules compared to the wide open NBA rules.
You know, it's funny because I was going to do a breakdown where we explain some of the differences, and it was almost going to be like a helpful thing for anybody who wanted to go over there to play, because it does sound like a lot of American guys coming right out of college, as soon as they get to the European game or the international game, they're traveling all the time, right? They forget that they can knock the ball off the rim. So it sounds like this is another great lab for people who, you know, just to get used to the game before they go over to Europe.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's the reason why we did our league that way was whenever we went overseas to Italy last year, we took 12 guys over there. Of our 12 guys that we took, 7 guys got contracts. But it was a lot of guys that we took over there that once they shot the ball and the team took the ball at the rim, they was complaining to the ref thinking it was goaltending. You know, so while we was over there, we started talking to them and they were saying, well, if you want to get guys prepared to play international basketball, you guys need to teach them the international basketball rules or they'll get sent back home quick because they're expecting their centers to defend the paint out there differently than we do in the United States. So that's the reason why we wanted to be the first league to play international rules, because we know that maybe 1% of our players will get an opportunity to go to an NBA team or get invited to an NBA camp. But at least 40% of our players will play international basketball. So we said, why have the NBA rules when only 1% of our players would go over to the NBA when we can start implementing international rules where more of our players get the opportunity to go?
I mean, absolutely. It's really important because, right, those guys can get sent back really fast if they don't shoot the lights out the first couple of games and they're having trouble. I mean, I think the big one that I've noticed is when you catch the ball on the run, you literally have to spike the ball on the ground and to start your dribble. If you try and catch it and rip through and dribble like you do here, that's a travel every time, right?
Definitely. That's just one of the few rules. Couple of other rules. I mean, in the international game, coaches are the only players are the only people that can call a timeout mm-hmm. compared to in the NBA, where players can call timeouts. Like I said, the five foul rule, the trapezoid lane that the international teams play with is a lot slimmer than in the NBA lane. They want it to be more of a wide open game internationally. That's why you have a lot of stretch fours that we're just bringing in the United States now. That international game, they've been having that for years.
And it sounds like, now, so is it safe to say that, you know, when you go to watch a game in NEBA, it's going to be up and down, fast, high scoring?
Definitely. Even though we only played 10 minutes, we've had games in the NEBA League in the past 2 years that you'll see scores 120 to 115, 113 to 106. So that's with 8 less minutes than the NBA plays. So our games are up and down. We're looking for a couple of things. We're looking to market the players who we feel we can send to the next level. If you're a scoring machine, then we're going to put you in a position to be a scoring machine. If you're a big rebounder, we're going to put you in a position to do that. So our rules are pretty much we watch the international game and then apply the international game to our players so they can fit in easily into the international basketball game.
You know, can you give us some examples of some players that have really found some success from playing in your league?
Definitely. Christian Sange, who's the leading scorer in NBA basketball history over the last 2 years, he's had many opportunities to be able to go to Germany, go to Russia. He's had contracts in Australia. We just signed Magic Dorsey, and Magic Dorsey played in a couple of NBA camps. He has a big name internationally. He was actually the first player we signed this summer to our Orlando team. We also got DeCorey Young, who's played in Iran and Iraq. Some of the bigger markets over there. We just signed Terrell Eskridge to our Arkansas team, and Terrell just got back from Belize. So we got a lot of guys that you're going to see with international experience, because if you see the map that we have, all of our teams are spaced out, and we only require 10 players per team. So all of our teams are stacked up with talent.
Well, that's terrific to hear. I mean, it's kind of exciting when you start something from scratch and you get to see how it grows. You know, right, so you have 20 teams, is that what you said?
Yeah, we have 20 teams. We have 20 teams, only two of our teams are in the same state. Okay, so when you're looking at one team for the whole area of New York, one team for the whole area of Boston, one team representing Houston, we have major cities in our league, and each team is having 8 to 10 players. So if a player right now is not in an international team, or he's not in a D-League camp, then he's playing in the NBA League.
Now, and then in the middle of the season, I'm assuming you have free agency and people could sign if somebody gets hurt. Is that all the same as as an NBA setup, or is it different?
Oh, no, definitely. We can sign players, release players, or send players overseas all the time. Matter of fact, one of our players got signed to a team. He was in training camp with our team out in Philadelphia, and now he's already overseas. So there will be times, because in March and April, whenever the college basketball season is over with and the international leagues are over with in April, then when those guys come in, then they'll be battling for spots. So if you don't hold your spot down, then you'll get released.
Aha. That's really interesting stuff. And so what do you see in, 5 years from now? Do you still see maybe 20 teams and just continue to grow that? Or what's the future looking like for you?
Well, definitely our goal is to be at a maximum of 30 teams. We don't want to get any bigger than 30 teams. We've been talking to a couple of teams out in California. We'll also be bringing in our Midwest division next year. Once we fill out our Midwest division and fill out our California and Las Vegas region, then we'll pretty much be set at 30 teams. Some of the things we have going on right now, we just partnered with 2020 Apparel Company, which has their own shoe company out in China. We're going to be the first minor league to have our own shoe deal. Those shoes have already been released and sent to a couple of our players. We actually have Team Magic Dorsey, which will be the equivalent of Team Jordan, where we have six of our players that's representing Magic Dorsey's brand, and they'll have their own signature shoe. We have our own headphone company, where you have your own team and NBA headphones being sold. We have our own uniform apparel company. So a lot of things that we're doing is modeling more lower-level leagues in Europe to see how they're branding their league. And then we're using that in the United States. So by us having our own tennis shoe, in the next 5 years, we would want our tennis shoe to blow up just like Under Armour did whenever they first got started.
Right, right. Well, what about in the communities? What are you doing to get the word out at the local level?
Oh, definitely. The community is the biggest presence that we have. All of our teams are partnered up with Ball for Life, which a lot of fans might know. Wally Dixon, the main event from the And1 Mixtape Tour, he actually created the And1 Mixtape Tour. He has a company that we partner with called Ball for Life, where guys got to complete 100 hours of community service in the community to be able to be a Ball for Life representative. So we got that going on. We partner with the Susan B. Coleman. We partner with a lot of different organizations that we have our own reading program in the NBA League, where all of our teams are getting into the schools and reading to the kids. And by the kids reading enough minutes, they're getting tickets to the games. So we do a lot of things in the community to make sure that the kids are involved and the families are involved.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, what about a minimum age? Do you have to be a certain age to get into the league?
You definitely have to be at least 18 years old to get into the league, and you have to have exhausted all of your college eligibility if you do have that. This is a paid basketball league. So as soon as you play for one of our teams or sign one of our teams, you do lose your college eligibility.
So, I mean, you could have eligibility, but as long as you acknowledge that this is going to be it, if I play, that's okay.
Yes, sir, it is.
All right, yeah, because obviously, right, so if you're 19 or something and you played 1 year and you just want to get out there, then they can do that. That's terrific. Now, as far as, like, you know, I guess you're charging tickets at the gate, right?
We do charge for tickets, yes, sir.
And so is that, like, one of the main sources of revenue, or are you selling other stuff?
The main source of revenue would be our apparel company and also the sponsors that we have. We have a lot of investors into this league. The ticket sales would probably be third behind investors, sponsors, maybe merchandise, and then ticket sales.
Well, you know, that is interesting. I mean, certainly, you know, with social media being the way it is, and you're on my channel right now, you know, it seems like you're in a good area to be able to get the word out. What about, like, basketball clinics? Do you ever do any of that kind of stuff?
Definitely. We actually partnered up with Swish Academy, and David Swisher, who is our commissioner, has his own Swish Academy that's spread out across the United States also that provides kids the opportunity. We'll also in 2017 be starting up our junior NEBA, which will be for fifth and sixth graders, because we know a lot of kids, when they go to middle school, they're just learning how to play basketball. We want to be able to have our kids in our programs in fifth and sixth grade, having our basketball players be their coaches and be able to train and develop them, so when we send them to the middle school level, they're ready to play.
Oh, that's great. And that's important. I feel like there's not enough of that going out around there. You know what would be amazing in theory, right? What if you started churning out some NBA guys who are getting picked up like they would be from the D-League? You know, not every NBA team has a D-League affiliate. So in theory, that could be part of your goal too, right? Maybe an NBA team that doesn't have one could want to, you know, adopt one of your teams nearby, right?
Definitely. And that's what we're looking forward to. Our major goal, Coach Nick, is to be able to have a platform where we have enough teams like we have right now. And you see our teams across the United States. So with every D-League market, we want to have teams around those markets. So if ever the NBA needs a team, we'll be right there. Or if the D-League ever wants to adopt our teams into the D-League, then that'll be able to help us out also.
Well, have you made inroads into that? Like where GMs or front office staff know a little bit about what you're doing? Or is there already a line of communication for that?
Definitely. We've already been in contact with the Bakersfield Jam. They're pretty much saying as soon as we start putting our teams out in the L.A. and San Diego area, then they'll definitely want to come take a look and see what we have going on. Of course, in Texas, we've had great communication with the Austin Spurs team and also with the Texas Legends about getting some things going on. We actually sent three of our players from our CFL team. They actually went to one of our trials with the Delaware 87ers a couple of weeks ago. So we're pretty much starting off small, letting all the teams in the D-League know, like, look, we're here now. We will be playing throughout the season. So if there's ever a time that a player gets released from the D-League and he's looking for a place to play, well, he can come play in NEBA League. And maybe D-League teams will start looking at our guys if we play from November through July. If they ever need a guy to come suit up, then, you know, we'll be right there next to him.
For sure. And then, you know, how much player development would you say does go on at your level?
Well, in our level, our guys are coming to us, and they're needing help with getting to the next level. So what we do is we get our guys in the weight room. All of our guys have gym memberships. All of our guys have trainers that is assigned to the team. So we want to be able to see, okay, what are our guys' needs? You know, if you had shooting problems in college, okay, let us get you with a shooting coach to get your game to the next level. If you're on the slim side, you know, let's get you in the weight room. If you got to work on your ball handling, okay, we'll put you in a system where you'll be able to work on your ball handling. So we try to develop our players. So when they get to the next level, they're ready to go. They never come back to us.
Well, that's a kind of a sad but good thing to have. You know, I also suspect, you know, there's so many like NBA players that we've seen. They never quite get to the right team, and as a result, their career ends up not being what it could have been. And we see players like, you know, even like Steve Kerr, for instance. Had he not gotten to the Bulls, he probably would have had a 4-year career and would have been out of the league. It sounds like you have enough flexibility here where you can find players best fits for them.
Definitely. With us having so many teams in our league and having so many different styles that we play, since we do provide housing for our players, we might have a guy from San Antonio that just doesn't fit into our San Antonio Kings system, but he might fit perfectly in our Portland system. So we can easily send players there. We actually trade players. So we're going to try to find the best situation for our guys, because the reason why they came to us was maybe because of a bad situation in college or a bad situation internationally. So why bring them back to our team and put them in another bad situation when we can put them in the best situation possible for them to be able to help themselves and also be able to help us. I mean, of course, the more guys that we send to the next level, the better our league looks.
Absolutely. Well, I know I certainly look forward to when you start operating in the L.A. area, if that's or in Southern California area. I would love to check out a game and see how that works. But certainly you're off to a fantastic start, it sounds like to me. And I think everyone should definitely check it out. How will we find you if we want to get more information?
Definitely. You can find us on our website, which is www.officialneba.com. That's our website. You can also find us on Twitter at Official NEBA, Facebook, New Era Basketball Association, and Instagram, Official NEBA. Our game, like I said, our season kickoff is November the 14th. We have some big-time matchups that have never been seen before on the minor league level. We have Memphis versus San Antonio November 14th. We have Oklahoma City going up against Orlando in December. We have Houston going up to New York for a couple of games in January. We have Philadelphia against Atlanta. So it's not the NBA, but you will see that type of feel. The reason why we went on a national basis because a lot of minor leagues in the U.S. is more on a regional basis. And sometimes fans get tired of seeing Houston versus Dallas every single game.
Right.
So to be able to have a Seattle team be able to travel all the way to Oklahoma City or be able to have a Kansas City team going all the way to Boston, that's the way that we want to have our league marketed, because we want the best against the best, and we want the players to be able to see different styles of basketball.
Well, that sounds really exciting, and I know everyone can check you guys out on those places, and I will for sure. And, you know, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Coach Nick, and anytime you need anything from us, just let us know.
You got it. And don't forget, sports fans, at B-Ball Breakdown, we're not a channel, we're a conversation. You in? Are you in, Kevin?
The NEBA is all in.